Please turn with me to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to read the latter half of that chapter, beginning with verse 14. This passage is found on page 1402 of the Bibles provided there in your rows. And so let's give our diligent attention to the reading and hearing of God's Word as it's recorded for us in 1 John chapter 5. John writes, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life. For those who commit sin not leading to death, there is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols." Amen. This morning we are looking at the conclusion of John's first letter. And as we do so, we want to basically identify securities for the Christian. Securities for the Christian. Now, as we talk about the idea of security, we hear in the context of the world that there are only two things that are certain: death and taxes. But outside of that, nothing else. Think about that for a moment. In the context of your life in this world, as you look at the entirety of it, the grandness of the universe and what and our position, our connection to it, the things that we can identify with it, humanly speaking, are volatility, uncertainty, and the consequence of the doubts and questions that arise because of that circumstance. And I mean, after all, how encouraging is it really when you can say, the thing I can be certain of is that April 15th, I got to pay my taxes, or that I live however long I do, and then one day my life is done. How encouraging is that, really? Now, as man looks at that circumstance, he then may come up with ways in order to try to find further stability or security. He may look for various ways in which he can find guarantees to minimize the impact of volatility in his life, but it's still there. How secure are we in terms of our jobs? We don't know what may happen in the consequence of the loss of that. How about relationships? The effect of natural disasters. The shortness and brevity of life. Now, as we look at this, we attempt then to overcome this. For example, well, if I further my skills or if I gain a greater education, then I might have greater job security, climb up the ladder, be more certain about where I'm at. If I diversify my investments, then maybe I won't take such a big hit. For some, in terms of relationships, they resist commitment in order to avoid hurt, but nonetheless are still able to go about having some type of engagement with people. Natural disasters, we may attempt to move to certain places in the world in order to minimize the impact, and where we can't overcome that, we grab the best and the biggest insurance policies that we can, so even as we may lose house and possessions and so forth, we can at least replace it all and stand firm. And even as it relates to life, we again pursue insurance policies so that at least income won't be affected or our loved ones can be set. Religion is no different. The thought in relation to life, our souls, is no different in this sense. James tells us life is a vapor. Job commented that regarding life in this world, it's short-lived and full of turmoil. And so man also then, in the context of his soul, seeks opportunities to gain security. And yet how does he do so in light of uncertainty that surrounds him? Natural man then may look around and say, because of the shortness of life and because of the fluidity of it, he then says, well, there's no objective truth. There's no certainty. There is no aspect of rationality that we can somehow apply to this world. Or he may even say that there's no binding authority upon us. So eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Make truth or perspective subjective to your personal observations and benefits. If it makes you happy, accept that as your security or the substance of your soul's comfort. Engage in any aspects of self-interest or individual wants in order to be able to find that which suits you. The beauty of Christianity is that we are not bound to this type of pressure regarding our perspective and views about the world or life, even in the midst of its fluidity. We can be certain that because God has given us His Word, and because God is true, and because His Word is firm and certain, and because it stands true for all times and all ages, then there's no aspects of haziness or fuzziness. There's no vagueness that we have, even in the midst of global insecurity. The beauty that we have is that through the revelation of Jesus Christ in God's Word, the message of the gospel being clear and precise and sure, then the benefits that we have as Christians is to avoid all of this focus and attention on the here and the now, and instead to be able to have confidence as it pertains to what happens after this life. It's the beauty of being able to say with the Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed in and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him until that day. And that's John's point here at the conclusion of this first letter. Basically, he gives five certainties or five securities to the believer to demonstrate to you and I that we might know, that we might be certain, even in the midst of all of this uncertainty, we might be certain regarding our eternal security and our standing before the living God. And it's all rooted in the knowledge and love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What's interesting to note that as it pertains to this idea of certainty, in verses 13 through verse 21, John some seven times mentions the word no. Not N-O, as in, no, you can't do that, but K-N-O-W. You can know, you can have understanding, you can have knowledge. And the beauty of this then is that as we have knowledge of our Savior and God's love to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, we then can be certain as to what happens for us eternally. We can continue to believe in the one who has loved us, and we then can live this life full of confidence and assurance, even in the midst of insecurity. The 5 points of certainty are this. Number one, verse 13, we have assurance of eternal life because of salvation through Jesus Christ. Number two, verses 14 through 17, we have the certainty of answered prayer. Therefore, we come before God's throne with confidence. Verses 18 through 21, these last 3 points, is that we have victory over sin, we belong to the living God, and we ultimately have a stance, belief in Christ, who is the Son of God. The last 3 points we'll look at next week. Today, we just simply want to focus on assurance of eternal life and certainty of answered prayer. Some individuals don't know exactly what to do with verse 13. Some look at it as the end of the previous section. Others look at it as the means of coming to the conclusion or the climax of the letter. In some respects, it's both. On the one hand, we looked at verse 13 this last time we looked at this text in order to see the conclusion that John makes in the certainty of God's witnesses, and in that he says, I've written that you may believe, that you may know the Son of God, and that through him you have eternal life and continue to believe in him. And yet on the other hand, this really is the whole point of this letter. Why would we say that? Well, as it pertains to the context of this letter, he repeats his purpose as he identified in chapter 1, verse 4. Turn with me over to 1, verse 4 and notice what John writes there. These things we write to you that your joy may be full. Why am I writing? That you may have confidence, encouragement, fullness of joy. Listen to what he writes in chapter 5, verse 13. These things I have written to you. Same language there, isn't it? I've written what? That you may know and that you may continue to believe. So he's really highlighting a purpose coming to a conclusion. He's also made a shift here, hasn't he? Look again at the verses prior to this. You see this idea of the use of he. For example, verse 10, he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself, he who does not believe. And then you look at verse 12, he who has the Son has life, he who does not have the Son does not have life. But then he shifts. These things I have written. So what do we see? A movement of tone, as it were, a reiteration of purpose, but also then a sense of style. If you recall in his writing of the gospel in John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, John there says, I'm not going to try to quote it because I'm going to forget it and butcher it. So let's turn over there. John 20, verse 30 and 31. He says, Truly Jesus did, that brings it back. Truly Jesus did many other things in the presence of his disciples, which aren't written in this book. But listen, these are written that what? You may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Now, keeping that in your ear, listen then to what John says in verse 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. John notes his purpose in the gospel. I write this so that you would believe. John notes his purpose in his letter. I have written this to you who believe, so that you may remain in that belief and be confident in what's there. And so all of this then points to this sense of assurance. It strengthens us in knowing that the whole point of this isn't a letter that you read through and go, woe is me, and how awful and terrible I feel as a believer, and to look down on yourself, but instead to look and see what God by his grace and spirit is doing in you in order to build you up. Now, there may be weaknesses and deficiencies, and that should convict us, but not to then send us down the road of despair, but to bring us back to know the greatness of our Savior, and consequently to seek to move forward in this knowledge of knowing that since you have this living connection with the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a great, tremendous position of salvation. So are you then assured of these things? What things? I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. What a beautiful statement. How many of you struggle with that? How many of you wrestle with that? Those of you who may be younger and you hear the appeal or the enticement of what's happening with friends and what media is setting forth, where identity is to be found, where comfort is to be found. Identity found in what you make it. Comfort found in acceptance by your friends. The media, as it pours forth time and time again, the attack against truth and bombarding all sorts of philosophical ideas that would undercut and undermine Scripture. And yet in all of it, the thing that they lack is security. They say, well, this is how I feel for today. This is what I want for the moment. This is what appeals to me right now, but is it really lasting? Is it something that they can say they really know? They can't. Yesterday, it was sexuality. Today, it's gender. What's it going to be tomorrow? Yesterday, it was doing my best. Today, it was who cares as long as I'm doing. What is it tomorrow? Yesterday, it was found in anything that they want it to be. Today, it's in anything that they want it to be. Tomorrow, it's in anything that they want it to be. And yet, it all shifts. It all changes. It all moves. It all varies. But John says, this doesn't. Because you may be certain that you have eternal life. Eternal life isn't just simply based on the idea that you live forever, although that is there. remember what Jesus noted in his high priestly prayer in John 17. He says, "And this is life eternal, that they may know you, the one true God, and your Son whom you have sent." The quality of eternal life is yours now, and it's based on a living relationship with the Son. It's rooted in the knowledge that as God has provided the Son to overcome our sin and our condition, that through that one who has come, Jesus has done it all. It's the beauty of the song that we sing when we say, "Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow." It's also the knowledge of, because of the perfection of the Son and his life, we are covered in that. And so this quality of life is ours through Christ. And everything that John has given us in this letter, those three tests that we heard about time and time and time again, the doctrinal test, the moral test, and the social test, belief in the Son, how we go about treating one another, how we go about seeking to live before God, all of that speaks to this beauty and this position and the security that we have in Jesus Christ. Think about the beauty that is ours in it. One author tells the story that when the Golden Gate Bridge was erected, there was no safety precautions. And so as the bridge was worked on, individuals then labored, and 23 men fell to their death. And so towards the latter part of the process of building this bridge, they had constructed a net that at the time cost them $100,000. And it was quite costly. And yet they said it was worth it for two reasons. The first is it saved the life of 10 men. It saved the lives of 10 men. The second thing is that they saw a greater production by the men. They were more efficient and they accomplished more. Why? Because they were certain of the safety. They could take greater risks. They could reach out a little further. They could climb a little higher. Why? Because if some reason I fell off the structure, I had something to catch me. There's a similarity in terms of our Christian life as well. We have a security before us. That security isn't in society, but it's in the Savior, the Son of God. And as we are united to Him by a true and living faith, as we remember that we have that certain knowledge and that hearty trust that is given unto us by the gospel, that not only to others, but to me also, forgiveness of sins, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely ours, given to us by God, merely of grace, it assures us, it roots us in this security that we have in life. And so I ask you, does your faith and confidence rest in this one whom God has provided so that you may know that you have eternal life and believe in his name? If not, why not? What is truly holding you back? What's keeping you from looking to Jesus Christ? Is it worth it to stay away from him based on what you are gaining, what you're receiving? Is it pleasure? How much more are you having to do in order to fill the void? Is it money? How do you know you'll have enough? Is it people? How often have they failed you or let you down? Is it a particular ideology? How long have you been looking in order to find it? And what gaps do you still have where you can't answer fundamental questions? Jesus can. And so do you see the security that is yours in Christ? Those of you who are looking to him by faith, are you struggling with doubt or discouragement? Notice what John says. These things I have written. God doesn't overcome your doubts by giving you some message in the sky. God doesn't address your discouragements by bringing something else. He does so through his word. And so note, even as he has given you what you need, remember, Revelation is full, it's complete, it's sufficient, it's without error. So look to his living word in order to be fed and satisfied and nourished and grow in what? All the beauty, the wonder, and the splendor that is yours in Jesus Christ. Well, I think it would be unwise if we tried to jump into this section on answered prayer. And so with that, then, just a couple further questions for you. If as a believer you're struggling with aspects of doubt, why? What is it that's weighing you down in terms of these doubts? Is it something within? Remember, Jesus has promised that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Remember, he has assured you that he's given you his spirit that is always with you, that is leading you and encouraging you and guiding you and reminding you of your Savior. Are there issues of despair? Christians deal with those. Sometimes we can deal with those quite often. And yet, even remember, in the time of despair, God tells you, what time I am afraid, I can trust in you. He uses those times of despair not to cause you to doubt yourself, but rather to see ways in which he may further provide and help and strengthen you. Is your struggle because of some besetting sin? What strength and encouragement is that compared to what you may know as you continue to believe in the name of the Son of God? Is it circumstances in your life, struggles that continue to weigh you down, struggles with relationships or issues that you're having with certain people? Much wisdom is needed in that, but remember, the one who gives you security and hope is Jesus Christ. Remember, he's the one who causes you to have eternal life. The rest can't get in the way of that. Are you not struggling with any of those things? Praise be to God. And yet remember that even in that, it's only because you're connected to Jesus Christ. May your assurance and your certainty grow in him, that you may continue to show yourself forth as one who remains firm with great hope, looking to the living God to give you strength. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the wondrous position that you assure us is ours through your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to know this. Help us to walk in it. Help us to strengthen it. Not by ourselves, not simply by what others may speak or think, but ultimately what you have revealed and given in your word. Cause our hearts to be strengthened as we look to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Even as we also pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.